जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरा वन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरा वन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, रामा रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, all glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Nairanam namaskritam naram chevam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirid Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavate uttam shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtaki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text Number 36 Guner alam ashankhyayar Mahatmayam tasya suchyate Vasudeve bhagavati Yasya neshragri rati Guner alam ashankhyayar Mahatmayam tasya suchyate Vasudeve bhagavati Yasya nesargigi rati Niralam ashankhe Atmam tasya suchyate वासुदेवे भगवती यशा नैसर्गिकीरति गुणे आलम असंख्येय महात्वं तस्या सूच्यते वासुदेवे भगवती यस्या नैसर्गिकीरति गुणेरालम असंख्येयेर महात्मां तस्या सूच्यते वासुदेवे भगवती यस्या नैसर्गिकीरति गुणे विथ स्पिरिचुअल क्वालिटीज अलम व्हाट नीड असंख्येये विच आर इन्यूमरेबल महात्मायम द ग्रेटनेस तस्या ऑफ हिम प्रहलाद महाराज सूचयते इज इंडिकेटेड वासुदेवे टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा द सन ऑफ वासुदेवा भगवती द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड यस्या ऑफ हूम नैसर्गिकी नेचुरल रति अटैचमेंट ट्रांसलेशंस एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय हु कुड लिस्ट the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. He had unflinching faith in Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Purport. In his prayers to the 10 incarnations, Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jay Jagadish Hare. Prahlad Maharaj was the devotee of Lord Narasimha, who is Keshava, Krishna himself. Therefore, when this verse says Vasudeve Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaja's attachment for Narasimhadev was attachment for Krishna, Vasudeva, the son of Vasudev. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is described as a great Mahatma, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 19. Bahunam janvanam kante jnanvan mam prapadayate Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sudarlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is a great soul, very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaja's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse, Krishna Graha Grihitma. Grihitma. Prahlad Maharaja's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyan Timrandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण So, first of all, I would like to welcome Vishwakarma Prabhu who has arrived yesterday from Vrindavan. So welcome. And something very interesting, which I was thinking about, that we have, you know, sometimes we say that there is, what is there in a name? But it seems there is a lot in the name, because he is going to be engaged in kitchen services, and we already have Vishwakarma Prabhu, who is cooking for Kishore Kishori for so many years. So we have yet another Vishwakarma Prabhu who is going to do the same service. So we wish you all the best and a good stay here. Hare Krishna. So maybe next time when we are looking for some devotee in the kitchen, we should say, what is your name? And, you know, that should be a qualification in itself. So this will be a short class because I do not have much to say. There are a couple of points in this purport when I was reading it. One which is very dear to my heart is, you know, the mother of all mantras. When Prabhupada says that always remember Krishna and never forget him. So we find Prabhupada is also emphasizing the same point here in this purport as well. He's saying Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. So for a devotee of the Lord and a true Vaishnav, he is always engaging himself in Krishna's services. In whatever he is doing, in whatever activity he is engaged in, Krishna is always in the picture. And that, Prabhupada says, is the major difference, or the only difference, between a devotee and a non-devotee. He gives the example, I think it was in one of his classes in Juhu Temple, where he says that we as devotees are performing more or less similar activities which non-devotees are performing. We eat, they eat, we also eat. But they eat sin, we are eating prasadam. We live in a house, they also live in a house. But that is just an apartment or a flat or a condo. But the place where we are living is called a temple, because Krishna is there. So that way, Krishna being in center of all the activities makes it a very, very important aspect of our life. And the way Prabhupada designed our schedule or our lives, if we follow it, there will be no room to forget Krishna. We get up in the morning, we are getting ready for Mangal Aarti, we come downstairs, sing Guru Ashtakam, we sing the glory of Krishna, we sing the glory of our spiritual master, we are chanting, we are doing Tulsi Puja, we are coming for Darshan Aarti, then we are engaging in other activities, like somebody will go to kitchen, somebody will go for book distribution, some people will go for Harinam, then they come back, they have prasadam, they are again thinking of Krishna. Or even during the Harinam, when they are thinking of prasadam, they are indirectly thinking of Krishna. So that way, if you look at our activities, we have hardly any scope to forget Krishna. Now, it is up to us, you know, how close we want to get to Krishna. If we are engaging in these activities wholeheartedly and keeping Prabhupada's instructions in mind, keeping the instructions of our spiritual master in mind, keeping the instruction of our acharyas in mind, Krishna will always be in our thoughts. But if I am performing those activities just as a task which I have to do, then certainly there is something missing. And that's where we find those activities very, very overwhelming. I hear a number of times from two devotees who may be doing the same activity. And one is really finding those activities very, very interesting, very helping in devotional life, and encouraging him to perform those activities in a nice way as service to Krishna. And there are other people who may say, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, and, you know, it's so tiring for me. No doubt it is tiring. Everybody needs energy. But if we are doing certain activities for Krishna, Krishna makes it sure that we get the energy as well. That is one thing very, very interesting I found Krishna consciousness, that there is nothing which you cannot do. Or in other words, what you are asked to do, there is Krishna behind the scene, and he is giving us enough inspiration and energy to perform those activities. If we forget Krishna, then same task will appear very, very daunting, and we may really, you know, we may do it, but we'll be doing it half-heartedly, which is not going to bring us the same result as expected or what we are looking for. So this is one aspect or one realization I had while I was reading this particular verse. The other important point which has been mentioned in the translation is faith in Lord Krishna. And it is not just ordinary faith. It says unflinching faith. So that means the faith which is not going to be shaken so easily. We hear, especially also in the case of neophytes, new devotees who are just, or new bhaktas who are there, they talk to different people, they hear different things, and sometimes they are really not sure what to do, what not to do. And the important thing is that sometimes they do not know whether I should have faith in Krishna or not. But if we have faith in Krishna, then as I said earlier, Krishna is going to make all the arrangements for our maintenance. You know, we as grihasthas, I don't know about brahmacharis so much, maybe you can share that with us, all of us. You know, we are so much concerned and worried about earning our daily bread. It is important, it is needed. But at the same time, Prabhupada says that Krishna has made arrangement for all the living entities to get their bread. He gives the example of elephants, he gives the example of birds. Elephant needs so much of food, and there's hardly any time we hear that the elephants died of hunger. So Krishna has made arrangement for all of us. But our tendency is, I'm talking of grihasthas, please, so, or myself, so please don't misunderstand me, that we want to collect more and more and more. So there's an example given by Prabhupada that a man was traveling on a bicycle. In India, it is quite common to carry your grocery on bicycle, or it used to be, not maybe anymore. But when I was a kid, if you had a bicycle, it was a big thing. So people used to go for grocery and keep their grocery on, we call it the carrier, which is at the back of the bicycle. We put it there and, you know, you drive the bicycle, you ride the bicycle. So somebody was carrying his sack of rice on the bicycle and it fell down and it, you know, broke open. So some birds were observing, so a bird came, picked up few grains and flew away. Another bird was there, couple of birds were there, so they just picked up few grains and walked away. Then a person like me comes, picks up the whole sack and walks away. So that is the difference between us and the other living entities. We are, I mean, human beings are so greedy about these things. We are so much worried what is going to happen to me tomorrow that we tend to do everything today. And in that process, not only we are spoiling our tomorrow, we spoil our today also. So if we have trust in Krishna, if we have faith in Krishna, Krishna is going to take care of us. And there was another question one devotee asked his spiritual master, that, Maharaj, when I retire, who's going to take care of me? This is the same person who is taking care of you now. So this is the thought process which we have to develop, that Krishna is going to maintain me, come what may. And if we have that thought, then, and if we have that kind of a consciousness, then Krishna is really going to take care of us. I believe that the degree to which Krishna would support us will directly depend on it is directly proportional to our trust and surrender unto Him. If we are totally surrendered to Krishna, He is going to take care of us 100%. In other words, all your needs, all your requirements will be taken care of. But if our trust in Krishna is not 100%, then please do not expect that Krishna is going to also, you know, reciprocate. Krishna is going to reciprocate the same way as we are approaching Him. So here we find that Prahlad Maharaj's faith in Krishna is unflinching. I'm repeating this word because faith is a very common word which we use in our day-to-day. We use very loosely. But when it comes to unflinching faith, it is something which we have to ask ourselves, that do I have that kind of a faith and trust in Krishna? Prabhupada, I used to think when I used to hear classes and read Prabhupada books, that Prabhupada refers to Prahlad Maharaj so many times in different purports, his classes, lectures, and even other devotees, when they are talking about his Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj is the personality who appears again and again and again in the discussion. And when I was reading this purport, I realized that there is so much of commonality between Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj had to undergo a lot of difficulties in order to keep thinking of Krishna. Or in other words, so many hindrances were created by his own father to get away from Krishna. In case of Prabhupada, he took this journey from India to United States when he was 70 years old, not necessarily keeping a very good health, and not doing financially so well. In spite of all that, he undertook this journey so that he could deliver the name of Krishna. He could bring the name of Krishna to those people who have not heard of him. And it was not an easy task, as we all know. He had to undergo a lot of difficulties. When he landed here in United States, in East Coast, initial couple of months were not an easy period for him, because he didn't know what to do. He had no money. He had nowhere to go practically. But because of his faith in Krishna, he continued and continued, and we see the result. So this is also an indication for us that the trust in Krishna and full confidence in Krishna is always very, very rewarding. Rewarding not necessarily in material sense, but in spiritual sense. For our devotional life, having trust and faith in Krishna, or unflinching faith, that's very, very important. There are other examples also in our scriptures of devotees who just gave up everything for Krishna. For example, Haridas Thakur. He came from a family of Muslims. And it is not very common in Muslim faith to think outside their religion or outside their faith. But he was so inspired that he gave up everything and he was just simply chanting the holy name of the Lord. And when people, the villagers, complained to Qazi of his village, and he was kind of chastised, he still told them very clearly that he's not going to give up. They may cut him into pieces, his body into different pieces, but he is not going to stop chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that is the kind of, you know, faith he had in holy name, that he said, you know, whatever may come, I'm not going to give it up. So that is the kind of trust and faith somehow we have to develop. And that brings me to a slightly different topic, which I was again contemplating, and because most of you are staying here in the temple, barring few, and I was wondering that, you know, why is it important for anyone to stay in temple, or what is the additional advantage a devotee gets by staying in the temple? So, question.
Sadhu Sangha and activities to engage in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And like different activities to engage activities. In, like devotional service. It's very easy to know.
Different activities that engage you.
You get spiritually minded association that you wouldn't necessarily get living outside of the temple, or at least so frequently.
Yeah, thank you. Sergi Prabhu wants to add something.
Hare Krishna. Well, eating prasadam is important. Srila Prabhupada said for the first couple years of devotional service, we should only eat prasadam. And at home, it's... Sometimes it's difficult to, you know, to offer food when you're home, and plus there are different levels of prasadam. It's depending on the consciousness, so that's a big benefit, I think.
Yes. thank you so much. So I think we have covered all the important aspects of it. people who are not staying in the temple, what do they miss? So maybe I can answer that part. And one is the association. One of the most important thing is the association, which all of you mentioned here. We can associate with our, you know, other devotees, with our acharyas, with our spiritual master, by hearing their instructions, by listening to their classes, and so on. But the temple gives us a very, very rare opportunity to associate with other devotees. And not only that, it helps us in a great way to make progress in our devotional life. And I can explain how. We have devotees of all levels in the temple. There are devotees who are very knowledgeable. They have been living very, very exemplary lives. And when I say exemplary, it means that we should learn something from them. It is not that he is doing good things or he has practicing those things just, you know, for his own satisfaction. Maybe that is also true. He is doing that. But at the same time, we have to look at him as an example for us. And we have to learn from him. So these are the important, one of the most important things, which if we are not staying in the temple, we miss. The other important thing is they are senior devotees who are there, who are always available to us for help. If I'm not doing something correctly, or I'm acquiring some qualities or characteristics which are detrimental for the devotional life, if I'm at my home, I can do whatever I feel like, and there is nobody to really, you know, chastise me or check me. But if I'm here in the association of other devotees, they can guide me. They can tell me what is the right path and what I am not doing correctly. And it is very important for a new devotee especially to pay attention, to observe the senior devotees, the way they conduct themselves, the way they talk. We hear this in Bhagavad Gita also, when Arjun asks Krishna the question that what are the symptoms of a devotee, and Krishna explains to him, and you know, Arjun went into so much of detail about how they walk, how they talk, and so on. So if we have decided to stay here in a brahmachari ashram or in the temple, we should have those role models. We have to have the learning attitude, that by looking at the senior devotees, I'm going to learn something. And I feel that is a very, very important aspect and should help all of us. And Prabhupada gave a lot of emphasis on association. When we hear different classes, the three most important things which we hear are association, guru, and shastra. And guru and shastra, they are also available to us wherever we may be. But association is not necessarily available in the physical form. Okay, we can say association in vani form is available to us wherever we are, and which is true. Vani association is also as important as vapu, but by being here, we have the good fortune of learning from the senior devotees. So, any comments on this from anybody? Jitendra Prabhu wants to say something.
By living in the temple, you're able to deal with the immediate emergencies also. Well, like a toilet that's not flushing, or, you know, a light that's not working, or, you know, something. What did he say?
At home, if the toilet doesn't flush, that's fine.
Well, no, you can take care of it if you're outside, you know. But I'm saying if you're living here, you know. I don't.
How would you maintain the temple if you had to walk?
Yes, Prabhu.
In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 9, Krishna says that those who are faithless, faithless, they don't accept this dharma of bhakti, and as such, they don't attain Krishna, but they continue on the path of repeated birth and death. Chapter 9, verse 3. So I was looking at Ramanujacharya. He comments that just see the obstruction that karma creates for the living entity. So in your discussion of faith, and also in your discussion of the importance of Vapu Sangha, of devotees, we see that notwithstanding the opportunity afforded to us by Vapu Sangha and living in the temple and performing bhakti, due to the force of karma, you know, either a physical situation or psychological situation, turmoil is there, then one is not able to avail themselves to that opportunity and rather remain absorbed, completely absorbed, 100% in the physical and psychological situation created by their karma. So then what is one to do when, like in our circumstance, we do have that opportunity, and at the same time, we are dealing with karmic situations on a physical and psychological level, which tend to keep us quite distracted. So how do we balance this sort of, this kind of like problem in order to make our lives a little bit more auspicious?
So if our aim of is to make progress in devotional life, then Prabhupada provides us a very simple solution. And he says, just by chanting and hearing, we can slowly get rid of our anarthas. And when we get rid of our anarthas, our heart will open to the ideas, to the teachings of our seniors. Why I'm not able to see, it happens even in, our karmic life also. Number of times parents are telling their kids to do something or not to do something. And, I always totally closed. No, you don't know anything what's going on in the world. Just keep a distance kind of a thing. But sooner or later, we realize that the instructions or the teachings which we were getting from our parents were so relevant for our growth. So same way, if I am here with an open mind and I want to make progress in devotional life, and if I follow the path shown by Prabhupada, slowly I will see the light. I will see how important it is to follow the instructions of the seniors. I will understand how important it is to do service in the temple. These are all important aspects, and I feel that one should have an open mind for these things. Anarthas will slowly go. I mean, slowly means it can take time depending on our own efforts and the kind of anarthas we have. But association is definitely going to help in the longer run. Does it address your... No, I know it cannot fully answer that, but touch it. Yeah. Nitin Pran Prabhu wants to say something.
I was thinking in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes 4 reasons or 4 types of people who come to him. Those who are in distress, those who are in need of money, the inquisitive, and those who are searching after the absolute truth. And we generally find that the last 2 categories are very rare. The first 2 are the most common. And of those 2, the first one is even like the prevalent one. Most are in distress. And somehow the Krishna consciousness in general, but a temple structure provides relief from distress, like immediately. Because it's designed so. It's designed to relieve one of distress from any number of dimensions, you know. The presence of the deities, the presence of a particular structure, the presence of other things organized in a way that, in general, that distress is relieved. However, because the topic is about faith not developed or weak faith, our sense of distress, the definition changes. First is the distress that's hitting our senses, you know, out in the material world. Then it's the distress of devotional service. Because ultimately what the... because the point was, see how much karma is a block, right? So the ultimate, the distress is that one thinks that within devotional service I'll find my sense gratification. Or one is still looking for that, even if one is not explicitly thinking like that. So when that's not available, then there is distress. So unless one progresses developing faith in Krishna, the sense of distress will continue. Even within a process or a structure or system which is supposed to relieve one of distress.
Thank you.
I'm just strengthening the point he's making. Mm-hmm. Just looking
different. Yes, Prabhu. Slowly.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. let's bring up one point. If you'd like to elaborate on one point you made, the subject about role models. So Prabhupada, of course, is an excellent role model, and the one thing I appreciate him or devotees like him is that he will always transform something that's negative into something positive. Just like reporters said that you're brainwashing these devotees. And Prabhupada was like, thank you, you know, there's nothing wrong with the clean brain. That's exactly what we're trying to do. So he would transform it. So you were making a point that we should take lessons and associate with role models. But how important is it to in developing our Krishna consciousness? Because I'm thinking in my own life, a few years ago, there was this one devotee who was giving everyone a hard time. And so then later on, I realized he was actually helping me in my progressive Krishna consciousness. Actually, years later, I'm serious. I was like, thank you, you know, for helping me. I appreciate it. So the tendency is to take lessons from, you know, good role models. But how important is it to take lessons from, let's say, new devotees or role models? Because my understanding is that suppose someone makes you feel very bad, let's say they're new or not new, but let's say you consider them not good role models, but usually that's new devotees, and they don't make you feel good. They may say something to upset you, but So when they upset you, you're thinking, okay, the way they made me feel, that's actually enlightening me of how not to treat others. So in that sense, it's transforming something maybe somebody does negatively into something positive, and you don't see necessarily the person that's doing it as Krishna actually enlightening you. Mm-hmm. So how important is it to take lessons? Because otherwise, we'll go around kind of upset, trying to go on to the good role models and, you know, just having a lot of animosity toward, let's say, the bad role models. So how important is it to take lessons from even, like, let's say, bad role models and see them in a positive light?
Yeah, but I feel it is very important. We can learn something from anybody and everybody. So many times we hear that all of us have some good qualities and we have some weak points. At whatever level we may be. So even if somebody who is absolutely new in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean that if he has come to Krishna consciousness, it means he has some good quality. That's why he is coming to Krishna consciousness. Now we can learn from a new person in so many ways, because I find that if, when a person is new, he is he tries to live in a more disciplined way, if I may use that word. You know, he is still not familiar with the surroundings. He says, I have to follow the rules and regulations. For example, I'm just giving an example. And as I get more familiar with the environment and the surroundings, then I start misusing it. I look for loopholes that, you know, how I can exploit the situation. So, It happens. Whereas for a new person, in the beginning at least, he's very, very careful that he doesn't do something which will offend others, which will be an offense in the setting in which he was living. So even new neophytes, they give us an opportunity to learn. Then there's another point I would like to make here, which I heard from a very senior person, that we do not have the capacity to judge at what level of Krishna consciousness that person is. So if you start judging other people that, oh, you know, he doesn't know because he's new, then we are committing a very big offense. So when this question was asked, a similar question was asked, the answer was that please treat everybody with utmost respect. Then you will get best out of them also. And, you know, that way it will be very, very helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. In this regard, you make the point, this is a side comment, but you make the point that new devotees are kind of like super strict on rules and regulations. So this reminded me, like, some years ago in 2006, when I was staying in the temple on the weekends, and we had to go to the Bud Billiken parade, so it was like maybe 10 times as long as Ratha Yatra, and we were super tired. And at the time, I thought Mango RT, you know, if you miss one, you'll get kicked out. If you miss one, Mango RT, you'll get kicked out. So the morning after Bud Billiken parade, everyone was tired, but I thought it was like mandatory, and I was enthusiastic because I thought it was mandatory. So I went around the ashram waking everyone up, including my brother. I was like, wake up, wake up. And of course, everyone was tired. It was a pilgrimage. And so then, of course, my brother was like, get off. Get off of me. So then I realized, you know, when there was only two people who came down, me and one other person. But then that next day, I was like, oh, we don't have to get up. So I didn't get up the next day. So that was just a funny point I'll mention, reminded me. But my real question is that you were mentioning unflinching faith. So sometimes people think, you know, if I'm depressed, for example, you know, I don't want anyone to know that I don't have unflinching faith. I'm dealing with the trials and tribulations of life, and I'm very depressed, and I don't want anyone to know that. So is it being humble to not admit that, or being humble to admit that? Because sometimes we think, you know, humility is, you know, just to be, you know, you have unflinching faith, and, you know, you're strong, and you're not weak. So how important is it to kind of admit when you're feeling down? Because sometimes we feel like, you know, I don't want anyone to know that I don't have unflinching faith. I don't want to be criticized or judged.
Yeah. So there has to be a sense of inquiry in what we are doing. Now, I may not have faith on the very first day. I have some faith But that faith needs cultivation. And how can I do that? That is the important part. And for there, I believe that the devotees of the Lord are very, very compassionate. And if you go to them with your problem, they will help you. Number of times we are hesitant to approach somebody with our problem. Because we feel, you know, we are so reluctant, we feel how the other person is going to think about me, and so on. And that, you know, kind of forbids us from approaching somebody who is willing to help us. There is a story I read many years ago. A gentleman was driving through a countryside in the, you know, almost around midnight. He was a businessman and he used to go out for sales calls and, you know, distribution of his merchandise and used to return home late. And it was around 11:30 in the night, and he had a flat tire in his car. And at that time, there were no cell phones, so he couldn't call, you know, AAA or any such company to come and help. And then he looked around. He saw light in a house which was about 200 yards from where his car was, and there was no other house nearby because, in, you know, that small village, the houses were not very close to each other. So he said, well, I have no choice. I have to go to them and ask for help. But as he was walking towards that house, there was a question and answer session going in his mind. So he says, oh, no, I'm just going to knock on the door or ring the bell, and this man is going to come and says, what the hell, it is 11 o'clock in the night, why you are disturbing me? And then I will try to say that, you know, I have some problem. And he's going to say, even if you have a problem, do you think to disturb somebody's sleep, is it justified? So like that, he was asking questions and answering them also himself. And in that process, he reached the door of the house. He rang the bell. And as soon as the door opened, he says, to hell with your help. I don't need your help. So he had reached that level in his mind that the person is going to ask those kind of questions and answers. And, you know, he was already at that level. So a number of times it happens to all of us also. Before even we have approached somebody with our questions or our problem or asking for help, we already know what that person is going to do, how that person is going to judge us or, you know, treat us. And that, I feel, is a not the right way of thinking. If we, especially in our setting, we have to fully understand and be convinced that devotees are very, very compassionate. Even at the cost of their own convenience, they will be helping you. And we should have that much of faith in them. And we should approach them with that kind of conviction. And then you will see that the result will be also positive. If we approach them already with a, you know, negative feeling, then probably we may not get what we were looking for. You want to say something, Prabhu? Final comments.
We define when we say the word help. It can't be thought of generically, because how people need to be helped on a physical level, on a psychological level, ultimately on a spiritual level. And then there's a degree in which different entities will be able to help us on different levels. So like Rupa Goswami is telling in the Nectar of Instruction about how to associate with different levels of Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada will comment there in the purport that to cultivate devotional service properly, one has to come to the Madhyam level where he can discriminate between different levels of Vaishnavas so he can understand how to associate with different levels of devotees. Because sometimes with these sorts of explanations, which have a little New Agey scent to them, the tendency is to like equalize the playing field, so to speak. Where, you know, because we're all devotees as such. But there, you know, notwithstanding the generic understanding of us all being devotees, there are different levels. And we are advised by our acharyas to understand that so that we will know how to, let's say, select the right type of help for the right types of, or the particular types of issues and so on.
Yeah, thank you. If we approach somebody in a proper way, if that person can help, or the devotee can help, he will help. Otherwise, he will guide us, or guide me, to go to the right source for that help. So that way, devotees are generally very, very, even if you're using a generic word, but let's say I have a medical problem, and if I come to you and say, you know, Jai Jagannath Prabhu, I am having terrible ache in my stomach, so please help me. Now, obviously, if you are not trained in that area, you are not, you cannot do much about it, but you can say, well, for this you need to go to a doctor or a hospital, or there is a devotee here who has knowledge of medicine, he can help you. So you can help me in that respect. Same way, if somebody needs some financial help, being brahmacharis here, you have no, financial resources, but you can put them to the temple authorities or some other devotees who are, helping in such situations. So those kind of, helps will be there.
Those things are very easy. It's when it comes to the spiritual help, everyone seems to be an expert, and everyone has something to say. And at that time, they may not show the same honesty in saying that you need to go to this devotee for this sort of issue. Because of this tendency of equalizing the playing field when it comes to spirit, just like in the material world, when it comes to spiritual topics, everyone has something to say, and abundantly so. So that's why I was particularly... Yeah,
thank you, Prabhu. I want to close here, but I will just say something which is which I find really very, very helpful. Is the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. And if we, in our own conduct and the conduct of others, we can see, how they are performing when we are looking, or how I'm performing when I look at the instructions given by Rupa Goswami in verse number 1. And that's a very, very big help, If I have no control on any of my senses, how can I even be, giving somebody spiritual advice? It is just out of question. The important thing I feel personally is that we have to have we have to really know, first of all, whether I have the capacity to help somebody or not. We have to be honest with ourselves. Most of the times we are not honest with others, but interestingly, we are not honest to ourselves also. But if we are honest with ourselves to a great extent, then the situations will be much better. It will be much nicer. But because I have those, I have very high opinion of myself. That's where the problem comes. Anyway, thank you so much, Prabhus. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.